Good afternoon, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. To ask a question, please press star one. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now, I will turn the meeting over to Governor Tim Pawlenty. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, and good afternoon. I'm calling from the National Governors Association Conference in Washington, and I've been here for a few days, and we have been having sessions on Saturday, Sunday, today, and then concluding tomorrow. And then as an add-on to our activities here, Governor Blagojevich and I are having a meeting tomorrow afternoon on importation of prescription medicines, which will conclude late tomorrow afternoon. And then I'll, after that, be meeting and reception and also meeting with our full congressional delegation and then come back tomorrow night. But in terms of the conference itself, we've had many good sessions on a whole variety of topics, but certainly speakers have come in a panel discussion format and talked about kind of national and state jobs and economic development policy, Medicare, Medicaid issues, higher education funding access reform and innovation issues. I've got a briefing from Tom Ridge, Homeland Security, on Homeland Security issues and some developments there in a closed session. Had a meeting of the Midwestern Governors Association about issues of concern to Midwestern governors and where we're going kind of organizationally with that group. Later on today, as Vice Chair of the Governors Ethanol Coalition, I'll be going over to a signing ceremony to officially have a ceremony inducting Thailand into joining this coalition. For those of you who don't know much about it, it's not only a coalition of governors or states interested in ethanol, but it also involves a number of foreign countries. And today we'll be having inducting Thailand into the organization. There'll be a brief reception after that in honor of that. This afternoon we're having I think it would be a very good discussion on manufacturing issues facing the country, a change of the economy, restructuring the economy, particularly in our manufacturing sector, and what things we could do to better prepare the country and our states for this changing and kind of brutally competitive global economy. There's great discussion about education reform and particularly the implementation of No Child Left Behind. We've had a number of presentations and discussions on that as well. And then kind of as a on the side, we were over at the White House last night for a state dinner, a full state dinner, and we were very honored that President Bush and First Lady Bush had the governors again, as they do annually, for the first state dinner of the year. It was a wonderful evening with the President and First Lady, tremendous hospitality. And this morning, again, we went back over to the White House for a meeting with President Bush and the governors. He presented for probably about a half hour and then took questions for maybe another 10 or 15 minutes. And then we had presentations from four or five of his cabinet members and engaged in a interaction with them, question and answer on his cabinet members that included Tommy Thompson and Secretary of Health and Human Services, Elaine Chao from Labor, and Don Evans from Commerce, and Mineta from Transportation, and I think one or two others I'm not remembering. No, Secretary Page was there as well. And that brings us to this afternoon, and we continue on with the conference today. And then tonight there's an event for Republican governors that the president's going to give a major, supposedly his new speech or stump speech is going to be unveiled tonight at this event. And then, like I said, we finish up the conference tomorrow, have the drug summit tomorrow afternoon, and then a congressional delegation meeting come back tomorrow evening. So that's kind of the quick overview. If you have questions about any of that, I'll be happy to visit with you about those or anything else that's on your mind. So, operator, you can go ahead and open the lines.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. You will be prompted to record your name. To withdraw your question, please press star 2. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment, please, for the first question. Erica Scola, you may ask your question.
Governor, hi. How important is it for the president to get a little more aggressive? We understand the stump speech tonight is going to be a little more into the fray. Are you, those of you that are heading campaign efforts in the various states, are you anxious for him to kind of get on the hustings and get about it here a little bit?
I think it's important that he, you know, certainly be a strong advocate for what he's done and what he hopes to do in the future. And obviously the Democrats have received most of the attention here because of the horse race of their primaries, and that's understandable. We're told that the president's stand standing with the American public is better than most presidents at this time of their reelection year, I mean, even better than most presidents who have been reelected. So a lot of folks saying just the Democrats are going to get a little time in the sunshine here while they finish up their horse race, and then once the horse race kind of coverage ends and people start focusing on whoever the ultimate Democratic candidate is, then again, the race will kind of take another shape. But the other thing that's kind of coming out, I think, from a lot of these consultant types, Erica, or experts out here, they're just saying the country is more polarized than ever, even more so than 2 years ago. That's unfortunate in my view, but the number of folks who have already made up their mind one way or the other is kind of at an all-time high. The people who are truly independents or ticket splitters, don't just say they are, but really are amenable to kind of going either way, is at an all-time low. And for all of that to kind of polarize this early in the election cycle is somewhat unusual. And everybody's saying it's going to be a close election.
And, Governor, just to follow up, what do you hope to accomplish at the Governor's Drug Summit? The pharma folks were testifying last week before a legislative committee saying what you're doing with the website the FDA won't approve of.
Yeah, and if I could just jump back to your earlier question so I can answer it more directly, Eric. I think the President should be more aggressive in defending and promoting his positions. I think he needs to remain presidential and do that in an appropriate way, but you don't get many good points or support if you're just basically getting pummeled all the time by your opponents. And then in terms of the Prescription Drug Summit tomorrow, when we originally planned this, it was an effort to try to get information out about what various states are doing to share best practices or ideas. As the months have kind of unfolded, it appears like most other states have stood down on these initiatives or have been rejected with various pitches to the federal officials for what they wanted to do. At the moment, as a state, Minnesota kind of stands alone as a state that's actually done something. Other states are queuing up, others are holding back, but we're the only ones as a state that's out there on the limb. I was somewhat taken aback when Governor Doyle kind of tease him about this, but he kind of spouted off about, because the FDA hasn't taken action yet against Minnesota, that he was viewing that as a green light for Wisconsin to go forward. Now we've kind of heard through the media that the FDA, we're going to quote-unquote hear from the FDA shortly. That concerns me. At the same time, we're starting to see more pressure being put on these Canadian pharmacies in the form of the pharmaceutical companies choking off their supplies. So we've got storm clouds gathering on the horizon in two forms. One is potential legal action against me or the state by the FDA, and the secondly is we're seeing supplies being constricted to our partners in Canada who are part of our program. And as to the summit tomorrow, we're hoping to just share with others what we're doing. Candidly, though, if too many states jump on the bandwagon, we're concerned that it's going to overwhelm the capacity of our Canadian pharmacy partners to supply too many more states. And so while we're going to share information, we're really discouraging them from joining in. We got an inquiry today from Illinois. They just want to link to our site directly and just piggyback onto our program. And we've cautioned them that we don't want them to do that for several reasons. One is their own potential legal liability, that they have to do their own due diligence. They can't just jump into our program without thinking that through. And then secondly, we don't want to, like I said, overwhelm the infrastructure, the supply chain, by having too many more states join what we're doing.
Thank you. Laura McCollum, you may ask your question.
Hi, Governor. Since you already talked about the presidential race, what do you make of Ralph Nader jumping in?
I love it. And I don't mean that because I agree with Ralph Nader's politics. I just think it's tremendous to give more people more options and more choices, but also it tends to at least peel off a little bit of support that would otherwise go to the Democrats, and I think Republicans, candidly, are probably pretty happy about that.
Yeah, he made the comment that he tends to get Republican votes, but I don't know where he gets that. Do you think he gets any Republican votes?
I'm not aware of too many Republicans, or I guess I should say I'm not aware of any Republicans that support him, so I think that's probably a fanciful thinking on his part. But, I think more candidates in the race that give people more options is a healthy thing. It's a good thing, but, just handicapping it from a kind of a from a who does it advantage standpoint, I think it pretty clearly advantages President Bush.
And And then just one follow-up, you know, the healthcare group you set up, headed by former Senator Durenberger, came out with its recommendations today. They're not officially out for another 10 minutes, but I don't think anybody's going to be broadcasting this before then, recommending a dollar a pack cigarette tax increase. What's your reaction to that?
Well, that's not a new issue, and I will certainly consider the recommendations, and that's what they are, recommendations. We're not obligated to follow them or embrace them or endorse them. So I have not been briefed on or received the recommendations yet, but I'm generally familiar with the dollar a pack cigarette tax proposal. I don't support tax increases, so if it's just a naked tax increase, I wouldn't be able to support that. However, I have said in the past that I'm not opposed to looking at tax reform where, you know, we could increase one tax or lower another tax equally so they would offset each other. But even that, I'd have to make sure it's affecting, you know, the same or similar populations so that it's, you know, we're not just shifting tax burdens around.
Thank you.
Thank you. Brian Domholt, you may ask your question.
Hi, Governor. Just to follow up on the prescription drugs, what does the President think of your plan and what the state of Minnesota is doing so far?
Well, Tommy Thompson addressed it on his behalf at the White House meeting today, and kind of the short version of it is based on some studies that they've done in the past involving importation issues across the whole globe, they have safety concerns. That's kind of the short version. But we have tried to plead with them and say, you know, while we respect your safety concerns, if you just look at established, reputable, credible Canadian pharmacies, those concerns really aren't legitimate. They're not buying that, and so we're just at impasse over that issue. They also have noted, and I think fairly, that they've made more progress on prescription drug affordability through the recent Medicare legislation that they led on than, you know, any other administration in modern history. So they should get some credit for that, and that's fair. But then also I spoke to Secretary Thompson today about this commission or task force that he's forming on reimportation to try to explore it and find ways to potentially make it happen. That was directed by the recent Medicare legislation. I don't know if that task force is going to be, you know, a delay tactic or whether it's really going to take a hard and good look at it. But that's something I'm going to be watching very closely. But to answer your question bluntly, I think Secretary Thompson speaks on behalf of the administration. He does not agree with, you know, our position, and we're kind of at loggerheads.
So are they putting any pressure on you to shut down the website?
Well, what I know about that is what the FDA recently said in some newspapers nationally and regionally, and that is we were going to, quote-unquote, hear from them soon, close quote. And that makes me nervous, but I suspect we will hear from them soon. And, you know, I have gotten a little bit of, you know, just pushback from some other governors and expression of concern. It's been mostly good-natured, but I think this thing's going to come to a more serious head here shortly.
Thanks for your time.
Okay.
Thank you. Patricia Lopez, you may ask your question.
Hello, Governor. How are you?
I'm good. I'd like to be home, though. I've been... I feel like I'm living out of a suitcase.
I want to go back to this remark about the FDA. Can you shed any more light on when you might be hearing from them? What are the possibilities here? Are there sanctions that they could impose?
I can get you all the information you want, Pat. I'll try not to take you too far into the forest here, but the federal law says that there, in simple terms, there is potential civil and criminal sanctions against anybody or any entity that, quote-unquote, causes the purchase of these prescription medicines from other countries. They do have an enforcement guidance that says they're not going to take action, pretty clearly suggests they're not going to take action against individuals who make individual purchases for personal use and supplies up to 90 days. I think we've got a fairly creative approach to this because here in our website, we're not causing anybody to make the purchase, nor are we making the purchase ourselves. We're just simply providing information to people who then, you know, finalize the transaction. So, you know, if the FDA wanted to, I suppose they could, make a cease and desist letter. Maybe that would be one of the more mild things they could do. I suppose they could sue me and or the state. I'm hoping that they don't, you know, criminally charge me. They've indicated, you know, as I said in the past, they've not made any promises about what they would or wouldn't do, but they did say they have a tendency to sue people, first rather than, civilly sue them rather than throw them in jail, which gives me some comfort. But,
Governor, our prisons are full of drug middlemen.
Yeah, but you know, there's a new study out from the Sentencing Guideline Commission that they think nonviolent drug offenders should not be incarcerated.
We have a little more sympathy for that approach now, huh?
Yeah, right.
Why are we locking them up anyway?
But in terms of when they might do something, I think I was hoping we could kind of coast along here for a while, and they'd let us go as an informal or kind of unrecognized pilot project to see how this would go. But I think their concern now is, as they see other states moving to embrace our program or to even link to it or mimic it, such as Wisconsin announced that they were going to do last week, I think the FDA is seeing that they're going to have to send a message. And I don't know what that message will be or when it will come, but I'm braced for it.
So they may have to make an example out of Minnesota?
Well, I think they need to join the issue in some fashion, because it just here at this governor's conference, I've had no fewer than four or five other states just say they want to link. They want to just jump on our website, and they have, like I said earlier,
Illinois,
North Dakota's expressed an interest in that. Wisconsin's expressed an interest in that. Michigan's expressed an interest in it. So some of those are sizable states, and like I said, in addition to the FDA's concerns, I'm equally concerned about some of the main drug companies now just choking off the supply to the pharmacies. That's also a significant concern. When we tried to appeal to our Attorney General and to the U.S. Attorney General to take legal action to stop the pharmaceutical companies from doing that, so far we haven't found a good legal hook. Our legal theory to stop them, but we're still working on that.
One more follow-up question.
Yeah.
Were you able to mention this issue to the president directly? Any hope of becoming a pilot program, or are they just immovable on this issue?
I did have a chance to speak to the president about a number of issues, since Tommy Thompson spoke to this at some length, I thought that I'd covered it. And like I said, they've been pretty good in the past about giving me access to the FDA leadership and to Tommy Thompson's folks. So I felt like I've had my say, or at least gotten my word in.
Thank you. Governor, at this time there are no further questions.
Okay, well, you guys missed the big news out here, which is Governor Schwarzenegger arriving, and that was a lot of fun, and he brings a lot to the event, a lot of excitement and energy to the event, so that was fun. But in any event, thank you for your interest in the trip, and hopefully I'll see you later this week. Have a good day.